Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We'll be joined by Preds assistant coach Derek McKenzie later this hour. They've got the New Jersey Devils in town tonight, and they will be going for win number 6 in a row today against New Jersey. Joe, we've talked about it. It's a heck of a run that they're on right now. And not only the run that the Predators are on, but the lack of a run really from anybody else right now in their general vicinity in the Western Conference. I mean, LA's kind of struggling. Seattle definitely struggling. Winnipeg has creeped back into the fold, but San Jose's lost 5 in a row. So you're only 3 points back of Utah heading into this game tonight for that first wild card spot. So my question is this. I mean, I think if you've watched them play lately, it's been fun, right? Like, it's fun to watch them play well, and it's fun to watch them get into the mix here when it comes to the playoffs. I've heard a lot of people kind of point back to the 18-game point streak a couple of years ago and talk about, all right, when you really look at it, yeah, that was a lot of fun at the time, but was that a bad thing for the franchise overall, right? Like, you go on the 18-game point streak. They made the playoffs. They got beat in the first round by Vancouver. And then that offseason was when they decided to go sign Stamkos and Marchessault and Brady Shea, and we all know kind of how it's gone since then. And the thought process being, did the Predators think that they were actually closer than they were and delay a reset, rebuild, whatever you want to call it, when it comes to what happened in 2024? So I've heard from a lot of those Preds fans that feel that way. And then there are some Preds fans, like one texter we have here that just says, how could you possibly not enjoy what you're watching right now? So there's kind of two sides to that, Joe. And look, I think there is room for both, right? Like, I think you can enjoy what they're watching right now. And as somebody lays out here, you know, they're playing well. If they go to the first round and they get beat, you can't overreact to it if you're the new general manager and think that you're right on the doorstep. It's going to require some hard decisions. Another part of this, and Adam Vinged pointed this out yesterday, if you look at some of the underlying numbers for the Preds as a whole right now, they're not really good. I mean, it doesn't really suggest that they're playing all that great right now. They're getting good goaltending, and they're getting some timely goals. And, you know, I've talked about Forsberg and Stamkos don't need a whole lot of room to operate out there, and I think that was pretty evident the other night. But overall, Joe, what do you make of this? If you're a Predators fan, how many Preds fans are enjoying this? How many Preds fans are like, please do not try this? You know, we've got P. Houston in the YouTube chat says, enjoy the run, but my God, please, no more competitive rebuilds on the YouTube chat. So, Joe, what do you think of all this?
Yeah, well, on your last point there, too, I remember earlier in the year, it's like the underlying numbers are actually quite a bit better than what they're performing. They weren't finishing, right?
Right.
So now it's almost like are they like finishing at such a high level they're masking that they're more mediocre than we realize, basically.
Here's what Adam, and I'll just run through these real quick, Joe. Here's what Adam put up yesterday. The numbers. Odd man rushes in the last 10 games where they're 7-2-1, they're 23rd. Shot quality's 26th. Inner slot shots are 27th. Completed passes to the slot are 29th. Offensive zone possession time, 30th. Goals saved above expected, 1st.
There you go. So, Saros and Anonin.
Yeah.
But, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, look, I don't know how you can fret about the whole, like, this is going to lead to something. You know, again, like the text you're saying that I still feel like it's a wasted year if they, you know, just go get smoked by Colorado. Okay. But again, even then, like the wasted year, it is a wasted year if during the entirety of 82 games, when they were playing well, you didn't enjoy it. That's definitely a wasted year.
Yeah.
Like if you're a Predators fan, and again, everybody had a right to be miserable early in the season and questioning everything, and we've seen all the things that have come of that. But like if you can't enjoy like what the team's doing now, then yeah, like it's going to be hard to be a fan for one thing. I just like we don't know who the GM's going to be. We also don't know I mean, we've talked through for years now like what path should they take and what's it going to look like and all that stuff, and no one knows for sure the right answer or how things are going to work out, right? We don't know what the prospects they have are going to be. We don't know what potential trades could materialize in the future, free agent signings. I mean, so I don't think that some GM's going to come in. I mean, I guess if they're like the reigning Stanley Cup champions, they might be like, wow, I guess we're pretty good, huh? But, you know, but I don't think that, like, GM's going to come in here and be like, oh, well, I just need to add a little bit, and this is a machine, right? Like, so essentially I'm saying I'm with the texters who right now are like, how could you not be enjoying this? I mean, at some point, like, your team is on, you know, my team is on the floor. My team is on the ice. Like, watch them. Enjoy them. That's my take.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like I said earlier this week, I don't think the next 3-4 weeks are going to change, or at least they shouldn't change that much when it comes to the overall picture, right? Like if you're the new general manager, I think you still have to come in and be realistic about where your roster is, particularly from an age standpoint, right? And kind of like who are the next guys that are coming up. Now, I say that, you know, Joey from Gallatin on the text line says, you know, I'm so tired of hearing these same stupid questions. What other sport do we have where people sit around and question if winning is bad for the team? Well, I can point out to you probably 3 or 4 times in the last 10 years that the Predators should have rebuilt, that they didn't, and they stuck with it and stayed in the middle, and that's why these conversations exist. So are you telling me that that was the right move? Because I'm here to tell you, it wasn't. So that's why the questions exist.
Yeah, no, for sure. Now, but I will also, though, on that say, you know, like you can still argue like, okay, let's hypothetically go back and then they do a rebuild. So like what position are they in now? You know, I mean, like, cause you know, you can be the Red Wings. You can be, well, the Blackhawks of right now, right? Now the Blackhawks, I'd still take that because I still feel like there's like, it's going to get better there. They have pieces to get better, but you know, that's the thing too, is like, I mean, you're not wrong at all. Like they've made some big mistakes and they needed to more thoroughly embrace like at least some level of step back, right? More than they did. But they like that's also why this discussion is in with any, especially I think with any franchise in this league that's like in the middle, and there's a lot that get in there. It's like, okay, like it can be bad. It can be Buffalo forever. It can be San Jose forever, et cetera, et cetera.
No, I'm totally with all that. I'm just saying, like, when is it ever bad to about, like, the question was, what other sport do we have where people sit in question if winning is bad for the team? Well, I can point out to you winning, and again, we're not even talking about winning big here, but they have taken paths in the last 10 years that absolutely have been bad for them. So that's why. I mean, it's very clear if you go back and look at it.
And by the way, to also, I would point out to the texter that there's, every year there's NFL fan bases. We had it this year with the Titans. Right. Like, don't win. I want the top pick. Or in the NBA, yes, please tank because look at what's going to happen in the next draft. So actually, it happens all the time in sports.
Yeah,
like it or not.
Liam says if the Preds are always going to be stuck in the middle, sometimes we're going to be in the bottom middle, but overachieve to the middle. And the excitement is palpable. It's from Liam on the text line.
No high middle? What about just a sniff of the what about like the high middle? I mean, at least that, right?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe
the middle's big. There's a big range in that middle.
Again, like, this is fun. Meaningful hockey games in March are fun. So I'm all for it. I do understand Predators fans who frankly have seen this happen a couple times that look at it and say, oh, great. So they're going to go on some run here. They're going to get to the first round of the playoffs. They're going to get beaten five games by Colorado. And then the next general manager is going to look at it and be like, well, hey, look at this. Look, they're a playoff team this last year. Let's just keep going. Like, I understand. Like, and to act like that's not a legitimate fear for some people, you're not paying attention to what has happened with this franchise repeatedly over the last 10 years.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, the next GM is going to come in regardless of what happens from here to the end of the season. And is going to see, like, well, man, Philip Forsberg's really good right now. And,
yeah,
boy, they paid that goalie. And, look, he played well down the stretch. And, I mean, that's he's like, you're win now at goalie, right? You're win now at goalie. You're win now at Stamkos. Forsberg, you know. So, like, there's still, like, going to be pieces in place where it's like, what do you do here? You know, what do you do? You know, do you totally break this up? Like, again, then you get into, I mean, what Trotz tried to do, which didn't work.
Exactly. And again, all of that, like none of that changes, you know, what's the, you know, how good is Brady Martin, right? How good is Igor Surin? Like if those guys are really good, well, then here in the next 2-3 years, they're probably going to be pretty good again, right? Like, you know, if Brady Martin's really good, and Igor Surin, when he gets here, is really good. And Edstrom and some of these other guys that they've got waiting, Molendijk, I mean, keep going down the list. Matthew Wood that we've talked a lot about. If all those guys are really good, well, then here in the next 2-3 years, they're going to be making the playoffs every year again, and it's not even going to be close. Like, they're going to be competing for the division. But I still don't think we know exactly what that looks like. So in the meantime, you know, is this the last big run? Because there's a part of the run with this team right now that I don't think a lot of people are thinking about, and we'll get into that part of it coming up next. 615-737-1025, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Swing by T-Line at 106 Duluth Avenue in Nashville this Saturday for their annual crawfish boil starting at 2 o'clock. $30 buckets with complimentary drink. Indoor and outdoor seating, plus curling cold drinks as well. Also a great place to catch the basketball games that evening. 1025 The Game will be on site from 3 to 5 with great giveaways and prizes as well. Derek McKenzie coming up here in about 10 minutes. We'll get into the Predators going for 6 in a row tonight against the New Jersey Devils. So, Joe, in the immediate, when you're looking like right now into the playoff run and into next season, there's a big part of this that, number one, I think has driven a significant portion of this year that I think you have to look at if you're the next general manager next year and just simply ask the question, how replicable is this? And here's what I mean. Ryan O'Reilly, I think you would agree, Joe, through different points this year, has basically, along with Stamkos and Forsberg at times, but O'Reilly has been pretty darn consistent in terms of just carrying the team, right? Like, it's, we all know center is the most important position on the ice, and he has played like a number one center this year. If he stays healthy down the stretch here, Joe, over the next 11, 12 games, he's going to end up with somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 points, right? He's at 66 points right now. He's going to end up somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 if he continues on the pace that he's at right now and stays healthy down the stretch. Well, Ryan O'Reilly has been in the league for 17 years. If he ends up with 75 points, that will be the second best season he's had ever. It will be the second most points that he's ever put up in the history of his entire career. He put up 77 in 2019 with St. Louis. And by the way, he went and won the Conn Smythe Trophy after that, won a Stanley Cup. So, you know, at age 35 next year, how replicable is that, right? And look, far be it from me to doubt Ryan O'Reilly. We've talked ad nauseum about Ryan O'Reilly. But you're coming off last year where he had 53 points and was okay at age 33. And this year, he's going to be on the doorstep of 75 and is borderline a number one center. Well, is that replicable next year? Because these are the sort of questions you got to ask yourself if you're the next general manager. And again, this doesn't change anything about right now, which is why I'm more in the camp of, like, right now, just enjoy it, right? Like, enjoy the run that they're on, see what they can do, see if they can get in the playoffs, see what they can do in the playoffs. But I think, you know, the big picture of the team some of this is going to require a general manager to come in and look at this pretty level-headedly, for lack of a better term, and say, all right, well, how much of this is replicable with mid-30s guys? And if it's not, how equipped are we next season with our young guys that we have to keep this thing going?
Yeah, I don't know how replicable it is. I do think it's pretty tradable.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
And has been pretty tradable. Real quick, though, like, so does this mean that O'Reilly, like, next year, if he has a bad game, assuming he's going to be here, maybe he'll be somewhere else, but then he'll be like, you know, I've only had 2 good years in my career. Is he going to count this as a good year in his career now?
He probably should, but I don't know. I guess if they don't win the cup, he'll be like, I've only had 1 good year in my career. It's like, really? You played 17 years at your level, and you've had 1 good year, huh?
Or they win the cup, but he doesn't win the Conn Smythe. So it's like, yeah, that's not good enough. Yeah. No, it's a good question. And, yeah, it's remarkable. Again, good on him to produce like that. But it's very – yeah, it's a very – and that's the thing, too, is the new GM. Like, it's pretty clear. First of all, I think the Preds, you know, probably gave him a little bit too much deference in the whole thing during the process. But, you know, look, I also understand – especially, you know, I mean, you just listen to anybody talk about the guy. You know, you're around him. I mean, you know.
It's obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it means a lot. But it doesn't mean, like, a new GM wouldn't come in and be like, not having had that experience, right? But being like, looking at it just like you did, lay it out on a spreadsheet and say, well, yeah, but, like, right now there's value. And, like, where things are going, like, that's just the smart move. Like, we have to. So, that's the thing with all this. I think, too, the concerns about everything is, like, we think there are going to be fresh eyes on the whole situation. And so whatever happens the rest of this season, I don't think it's going to be that influential necessarily on the next person making the decisions.
That is, until they end up in the Pacific side of the bracket and get to the Western Conference Final.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Until they actually do make a run. And then, again, if that's the case, well, guess what? If the Preds are on a run, guys.
Then who cares?
Cheer for them.
Yeah. If they end up in the Pacific. And again, you know, I said this yesterday and I believe it. Let's say they end up continuing this run and they get to wild card one and they end up playing like Anaheim in the first round. It's going to swing all the way from, well, they got no chance to Colorado of, well, they're going to sweep Anaheim. So the winner of Vegas Edmonton, they better watch out coming up. It's like, well, okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit on both sides.
Yeah, will Anaheim even win a game? Who knows? Maybe they'll sneak one out. Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's complete pessimism one way with one change in spot and probably a little bit too much optimism the other way.
Yeah. Booking your ticket to the Western Conference Final the other way. I mean, that's going to be interesting to watch it, but hey man, look, there's no doubt if you're in that locker room right now. Yeah. I mean, first off, you're trying to make the playoffs, but you can't tell me that they're not looking at the standings right now and chomping at the bit and being like, hey, wild card one it's within reach. Let's go get it. Like that has to be the mindset right now. If I think you're the Predators, not that they're like scared of Colorado or anything, but I mean, I think just conventional wisdom would tell you wild card one's within reach. The Pacific Division this year, as Connor McDavid described it last week, is an absolute pillow fight. Let's go get it.
Yeah. Best quote of his career. Probably best quote he'll ever have. No question. You got to be realistic. Of course, you know, when you're playing well, you feel like you can play with anybody, but they know. I mean, they know the situation without question. So, look, it's right now when you get on a roll like this and everybody else is losing like this too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing how things, not just their own play, but it's just amazing how everything else is going their way right now.
Yep, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Derek McKenzie, Preds assistant coach, will be with us coming up next. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad later this hour. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you. Preds going for win number 6 in a row tonight, taking on the New Jersey Devils. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Preds assistant coach Derek McKenzie to the program. Brought to you by Arrow Exterminators, going beyond the call. Arrow Exterminators, a proud partner with the Nashville Predators. Derek, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, obviously, it's a fun time in the city right now, Derek. It's the most important time of year. It's making the stretch to run to the playoffs here. What do you think about the way that your team is playing and kind of rising to the occasion at the most important time of year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we can't ask for much more. I think, these guys have just found a way, basically all season just to kind of stay in the hunt. And, I think now down the stretch, what you're probably seeing is a little bit of that veteran presence. You look around the league, maybe some of the other teams that are a little bit younger, that are struggling to get a win. Pretty good example the other night is San Jose, obviously a really good hockey team with some really good young talent. I just felt like some of our, veteran guys like O'Reilly and Stamkos really stepped up and helped us out. Roman Josi on the back end.
How much pride is there right now, Derek, just in like making this run, which frankly, to the people outside your room, I think a lot of people kind of thought this team was not going to make a run like this, was not going to be in the postseason. It was talk, the talk was about selling at the trading deadline. Some guys were moved out. Is there a sense of kind of rallying around each other right now? I don't know about like prove everybody wrong, but just sort of a pride of being able to do this. And like, is that something you guys actively talk about?
Yeah, for sure. I think, obviously doesn't matter, what the situation is as far as the bigger picture for the organization. When you lose those kind of guys that we lost at the deadline and, say throughout the last 18 months, I mean, it's guys that, they play the right way. They're great guys in the dressing room, do and say the right things, just constant pros. So, I mean, it's always a little bit heartbreaking when you lose those guys. I think, these guys had a choice. I think we probably kind of lulled a little bit there. We were teetering after the deadline a few games. I felt like our energy was down a little bit. We just weren't playing with that same motion in the game. And I think guys just, dug in and made a decision like, hey, there's no point in, kind of crying over spilt milk, essentially. Like, we're still in this thing. And we play a lot of these teams enough times where we can really make a difference. And again, you got to tip your hat to this crew and this leadership group who have, continued to kind of defy odds, as you said, all year long. It's pretty exciting to see, them come together the way they have.
So, Derek, you obviously played center in the NHL. You know how difficult of a position it is to play at this level. Matthew Wood has stepped in there. I think he's done a really good job for you guys. I love kind of the confidence that he plays with. What have you thought about Wood, his transition back to center, which he played early, at different parts of his career, and the chemistry that he's got with Forsberg and Marchessault right now?
Yeah, well, you touched on it. I think, we all knew that he had quite a bit of experience at center and kind of was moved to the wing. And I think, just a bit of a void there gave him an opportunity. A lot of guys, right? Everyone's getting opportunities. Woody's just really, kind of seamlessly stepped into that role. I think for him, what's separating him is just, the way he sees the game, the way he can actually slow it down is a gift. I mean, he's not the fastest guy on our team, but I think, sometimes growing up that way, when you don't have that, like, separating speed, you have to really truly see the game and find these, little intricate places on the ice to find ice and make plays. And that's his whole game. And he's got the game in front of him, and he's seen it very clearly right now. And then, obviously, you add some star power in there on the line that he's on and Phil doing his thing. These are the kind of surprises that we needed down the stretch, and he's certainly been one.
Given all that you're seeing, Derek, how can you project him moving forward? Because obviously Preds fans are starting to get excited about the idea that, long-term he could be a real key guy down the middle potentially. And obviously this franchise has struggled down the middle historically.
Yeah, I mean, time will tell. I think, in a way you're kind of playing with the house's money a little bit. I mean, this is, again, a bit of an experiment that is going well to this point. You look at some of the underlying kind of stats, like just him in the faceoff circle. He's been pretty good considering most young guys come in and, you know, that's just a struggle for them, whether it's just lack of experience or strength or even the linesman's picking on him a little bit. And saying that, you know, not to knock on Woody here, you know, like it's, I give the analogy of like, you know, it's great to come in with a fastball, you know, and you got a 97 mile an hour fastball. That's going to work for a while, but this is the big leagues. Guys start to study it. They start to, you know, understand and see your tendencies, and then you need a few more tricks. So in saying that, I think he's more than capable of all that. But to your point, you know, we'll just take it a day at a time, a step at a time. He's a great kid, great work ethic, came in early in the summer, probably before everyone started to work on things. And he's one of the last guys on the ice, and something just like the faceoff circle we always talk about, right? You look at a guy like McCarron who came in and was teetering for a bit. It's like, if you can be on the ice with a minute left in the game in a 6-on-5 situation, because you can take that faceoff, then we know we're getting somewhere. I think those little things for Woody are going to be huge down the stretch.
So I brought up Marchessault. You know, obviously it's been a tough year for him a little bit from an injury standpoint. I talked with him about that the other night, and he looks healthy. He looks confident. And obviously that line, as we mentioned, has been productive. So what do you think about the way that Marchessault is playing right now, who I think, especially over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, has just been dynamite for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, you know, his body of work speaks for himself. And, you know, when you're a competitive person, obviously, you know, that's what kind of separates you. It has in the past. I played with him in Florida, watched him go on, and we all know the history of winning a Stanley Cup after that. So, yeah, I think for him, it's always been finding that fit that works. And he's obviously a finisher. And, you know, I think a lot of times when you have a center that sees the ice like Wood does and, you know, can find him in areas where maybe some other guys can't. I mean, you know, that's a very dangerous line when you have all three guys skating and playing the way that they are.
Well, I was going to ask you about Philip Forsberg. You know, we've seen many times around here, I think that his heaters are maybe a little hotter than a lot of guys' heaters. Do you feel like we're in the midst of one right now, Derek?
Yeah, I don't want to jinx it, but obviously, you know, you said it. I mean, it just seems that, like, when that sniper rifle is dialed in, it very rarely misses. And it seems like when he gets into those zone two, zone one areas right now, and he starts to cock the gun, it's almost like, you know, something special is coming. And, I mean, like I said, probably the most elite first shot I've ever been around. And, again, I think it's just a testament to the whole team. There's an energy there. There's a little bit of a flow that I think everybody's feeling. You know, and in saying that, we're making it sound like everything is, you know, just been easy, or that, you know, we show up and things are going off our stick. And these guys have worked. They've gone through a lot every night, you know, other than San Jose, which was probably a little uncomfortable for us because every game is a one-goal game in either direction. These guys have just kind of put their head down and kept barreling forward. So, you know, case in point, tonight, Saturday night, moving on every game, I expect to be, you know, going to need a big play by some of the guys that we've talked about today.
So, Derek, I mean, as we know, you guys in some ways, you know, had to essentially rebuild the penalty kill on the fly, given what happened at the trade deadline. What do you think about some of the young guys that have stepped in there? Where do you think the penalty kill is right now?
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood, I think it's just, you know, been exactly what it's been all year, and that's just been steady. You know, I think it's, you know, like, love to eliminate some of the 5-on-3 situations. And then, like, you know, I think if you look really over the last maybe 5 games, like, kind of got a tough break and against Vegas late on, you know, off a puck that just creamed off somebody. And then, you know, 5-on-3, and I look over and my two guys that are probably going over first, O'Reilly and Hall, are in the box. So, but, you know, I think all in all, when it mattered, these young guys, and there's something to be said about kind of coming in and just being green and just trusting your instincts. I think over time, sometimes, you know, you get the power play, you're playing against the best players every night, the top paid players every night. It can chip away at you game 40, game 48, 52, where you start to maybe second guess yourself. So, injecting some of this youth into the lineup and just telling them, you know, just for the most part, trust your instincts, and, you know, it's going to hurt and it's going to have to sacrifice sometimes, but if you're willing to do that, we'll keep throwing you out there. And that's what these guys have done.
Derek, last thing for you here. I mean, the goaltending all year, but really the last couple of weeks with Onanen stepping in when Saros went down last week, and then Saros getting back in there and playing the way that he's played since then. I mean, the underlying numbers are really, really good on goaltending the last couple of weeks. What do you make of kind of that Saros-Onanen tandem that you guys have and the way that they've stepped up here in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean you said it. I think it's one of those things that kind of it's like the fog. It just quietly kind of rolls in, and for me, that's kind of what's happened with these two guys is they've just quietly made everyone feel comfortable. I don't know how else to explain that other than like it just seems like they're gonna make the big saves when they need it, and they're gonna kind of weather the storm when a team like Vegas comes in here and it's just, everyone's desperate this time of year. It's impossible for us to play 60 minutes with the intensity we want. We know there's going to be ebbs and flows to the game. And when we've dipped, those guys have been huge for us. And, and other times, like I just said, there hasn't been too many opportunities where it's like, oh, it's 5-1. If we give up a cheap one, we're okay. I mean, these guys, every goal's mattered. They've all been such tight, close games. And it's just great to see those two guys again. They work so hard. They have a great relationship. It's exactly what you want in a competitive kind of goalie situation. So I'm happy for both those guys.
Well, Derek, it's been fun to watch. Keep it up. Back at it tonight against the New Jersey Devils. So we'll see you at the rink later today. And thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. See you soon.
Absolutely. Derek McKenzie, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Arrow Exterminators. Going beyond the call, Arrow Exterminators, a proud partner with the Nashville Predators. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Born and raised downriver.
Hey, Izzo, don't bogart the bong.
We had a love fest. We all kind of gathered around. We hugged each other.
You're the Athletics college football expert.
Say my name, no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. You ain't running game.
Say
my name, you acting kind of shady. Ain't calling me baby, why the sudden change? Say my name, if no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. If you ain't running game.
Say my name, Alante.
Say my name.
Oh, Ian got me there. I thought he was done. He wasn't. And God, was it worth it. That was amazing. Sometimes I feel like we don't even need to talk in this segment. Just let Ian put together one big mashup.
That'd be fine. This is another one that we're going to have to replay. We have to like remember the ones that were like they're too good to just play one time. This is another one. This is another one that needs to be replayed every once in a while.
I don't know how he outdoes himself every day. He does, though.
Fantastic. So now here comes the downer part of the segment, my rant. So this is getting a little deep, a little bit big picture, but I mean, really, it all comes down to this. A lot of stuff going on for me, and I've got a kid who is graduating from college here in about a month, very proud of him, but then you're moving on into, you're moving on into more education after that. A lot of expenses and things like that. But the reason I'm thinking of this is I just watched this. I think it's on Yahoo. Is it June Lee? I think that's right. He does a really good job. I think he used to work for ESPN, but he did a really, yeah, it's June Lee, really interesting piece. I believe it was on Yahoo, and I've lost it. I've been watching it today. About the Red Sox and about private equity infiltrating the Red Sox organization and how it used to be that they kind of married big budget with the Moneyball stuff, right? And Theo Epstein and they won championships. They were the model franchise, and now the private equity is coming to their organization. They've bought Liverpool, the Fenway Sports Group, whatever the hell it's called, bought Liverpool and everything. And it's really like they're not, you know, they are not making decisions. They're making decisions that is like based on like what is the valuation of our entire, all of our assets. That's what matters, you know? And you see that, I mean, again, the whole Bregman thing is like disastrous for them. And it just, it doesn't make sense. And it brings me to, you know, what we've talked about with the NFL owners, with just, you know, like you have to be growing the business, this mindset, this corporate mindset. If you're not growing, you know, then you're dying. I mean, that's not true in the NFL. Like, you guys have more money than you could ever possibly dream of or anyone could dream of, and yet still you're pushing these ridiculous things. Let's have a Wednesday game in Australia to grow the business, right? All of which is leading to this, the big point, which is, how the hell are our kids going to afford to live in the world? Like, it's unbelievable. I spent $4 whatever a gallon. And I understand that's like world events affect like gas and stuff like that. But like everything, like how are people like affording to buy groceries at this point? I mean, like all of it. And then you look at the sports world and it's just this extract every cent out of everyone that you possibly can. And it's cater everything to the wealthy. That's really what it is. I understand every team will point out to you, well, we have the, you know, we have the family, you know, value pack over here. Like, okay, that's fine. Let's be real. Everything costs way more than it used to. We just, you know, we just were in the presence of a Titans fan who has been there from day one, and it's just an incredible uptick in how much he has to pay for the tickets, to the point where he cut way down from previous. But so much of the stadium's already locked up with corporate tickets anyway. You even had your choices limited. I mean, it's, again, I'm not trying to just isolate the Titans. There's a bigger picture here. Sports and everything is part of it, which is, seriously, how the hell are our kids going to live in this world? Someone help me out, because I don't know.
Well, you can start by not eating Chicago-style pizza in Chicago. You can go over there to Portillo's, who you were throwing shade at the other day.
That's a good point. I probably could have had a more reasonable meal, I suppose.
That'd be step one.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Buona. I mean, that is the – and I was talking about this with a buddy the other day. Like the – and I get it from a business standpoint. If you're a sports team, I guess I understand why, right? Because – there's such a lean in now on corporate and designing things for corporate, but it does feel like, you know, thinking back to, and not to be the get off my lawn guy, you know, thinking back to when like the Titans first came here and the Preds first came here, and this is Nashville. This is not even the most like extreme example of it around the country, but you know, doing everything you can to get everyday people in the door and watch your product was what it was about. And yeah, there's corporate money. I mean, there's always been corporate money involved in it, but it just feels like there's been a shift in the sports world where that's like all people care about now. You know, that's probably too general of a statement, but like, you know, all these new stadiums that are getting built, these, you know, even in college football, right? Like it's so much about corporate now, and how much money can we get out of, and even beyond just the NIL stuff. Like it feels like there's a shift in, like, marketing to people getting in the building with some of these new stadiums and new arenas and everything that's going up. And it's just, I don't know that we're ever going back the other way, I guess is my point.
Yeah. I mean, we probably aren't, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like there's, you know, potential breaking points with some of that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you take this into college athletics too. I mean, greed is, you know, sort of the, greed is sort of the prevailing thing through all of it. And again, you look at college athletics and how everything has become, you know, monetizing every single thing. And there's a lot of people who have made a lot of money in college athletics who are lamenting now all the things that have happened, you know, with obviously you strain budgets when you have to devote 20 some million and that's just the official rev share money to paying athletes. But again, if you went back and you look at realignment and you went back and you look at shoe deals for coaches and the absurd massive uptick in the money that you all were making and while making sure, you know, that like kids couldn't get too much cream cheese on their bagel, maybe you wouldn't be in position, right? So sometimes greed puts you in a bad spot down the road, and you wonder about just overall fandom. In a lot of ways, if people can never get in your building, can never have the experience as a kid that like I had with my teams, being able to go to a Detroit Tigers game for reserve seats were $6.50 and the box seats were $8.50. This is when I was like 12 years old at Tiger Stadium. Like, this is something everybody can do and have an incredible experience. And that's how you build lifelong fandom. So now it's the TV deals. Now it's, these are the things that matter. So are you going to have sports fans? Because that seems a little bit better question than, are we growing the business right now and making sure we're in freaking Australia? Just something that maybe someone should think about at some point.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Charles Robinson coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.